Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Wilmington, North Carolina, it's time for Wilmington Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to the Business Radio X studio and to the Wilmington Chamber of Commerce Voice of Business show. I am Scott Czeklewski, Director of Communications at the Wilmington Chamber. I am filling in today for Chamber President Connie Majorette, who unfortunately could not be with us. It is my very first gig as a radio show host.
Welcome, Scott.
Thank you. Do I get like a round of applause or a funny special effect sound for that or anything? Fortunately, as you've already heard, I have by my side Ann Revell Petcher of Business Radio X.
Always good to be here.
Who is going to share the co-hosting duties today. And thank you very much for being here. The focus of our show today is going to be the local school bond referendum that will be on the ballot November the 4th. New Hanover County citizens are going to have the opportunity to vote for or against the $160 million bond that is going to be used to construct additional schools, replace existing schools, improve safety and security, as well as upgrade technology. Education is of great interest to the business community, and that is why the Chamber and the Chamber Foundation have had involvement in several education initiatives, including bringing the STEM program Project Lead the Way to Trask Middle School and helping fund the Youth Enrichment Zone Summer Initiative at DC Virgo that just wrapped up a couple weeks ago, actually. When we have conducted surveys of business leaders, education has always ranked near the top of the list of concerns. And that's not to say that the schools are not good here. The schools are very good here, but it's always going to be a top concern for business people. We want the best for our children, and it's a top item also that is considered by businesses looking to locate in any area. We hear that a lot from site selectors all the time. We have two very knowledgeable guests with us today that are going to tell us why they feel New Hanover County citizens should vote in favor of the school bond, Dr. Tim Markley and Mrs. Ann David. Dr. Markley has been superintendent of New Hanover County Schools since 2010. Before coming to Wilmington, he was superintendent of Catawba County Schools and for White Mountain Regional School District in New Hampshire. Welcome, Tim.
Well, thank you for the invitation. Glad to be here.
We are also pleased to have with us Ann David, who is a local attorney with David & Associates. Ann has volunteered in the schools for over 15 years in various capacities, including serving as New Hanover County PTA President, as the North Carolina Bar Association Law-Related Education Coordinator of Lawyers for Literacy, and that is quite a mouthful. She's also the host of the New Hanover County Schools Learning Network show called Upfront with the Superintendent. She has been the recipient of the North Carolina Award for Outstanding Volunteer Service as the result of her dedication to our schools. And Mrs. David is currently the co-chair of the Education Bond Committee. Welcome, Ann.
Glad to be here.
It's great to have all of you here today. And if our listeners did not catch that, we have two Anns on the show with us today.
But we sound very different.
I was going to say, I was wondering if we were doing that just to kind of try to screw me up with my first radio gig, but you sound very different, so I think it'd be okay. Let's get right into it. And Dr. Markley, if you could start. Tell us a little bit about the needs that we currently have in the schools.
Well, at this point, we're asking for a $160 million bond. In reality, our needs are closer to probably $300 million. We're required by the state to do every 5 to 10 years an assessment of needs. And that last assessment we did was over $300 million. We went and had conversations with the county commissioners, pared that list down to about $280 million, and then looked at that, and the county commissioner said they could fund and work with us for $160 million in needs. And so that's where we arrived at that need. But you look at that need addresses a number of concerns. Primarily is overcrowding and overcapacity at our schools. Number two are our safety needs of our schools. And the third one are technology and infrastructure needs. Our schools are great schools, but some of them have been here for a long time. When you look at the northeast corner, Porter's Neck, Marsh Oaks area, there's definite need for another elementary school. When you look at all of our schools, there is a serious overcapacity need of almost 2,000 students at the elementary school, 500 at the middle school, and another 1,000 students at the high school. So we've got to address that need because we are one of the fastest growing areas in North Carolina.
I'd like to have you repeat those numbers. You said your overcapacity in the schools are what numbers?
At the elementary school, it's 1,900, almost 2,000 students.
2,000 more elementary school students than you really have space for.
Yes. We currently have what are 80 mobile units, which are supposed to be temporary units.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those units are almost 30 years old.
Oh, my goodness. So that's elementary, almost 2,000 elementary. And what were the other numbers?
500 more at the middle school and over 1,000 at the high school level.
Wow. Wow.
So it sounds like overcapacity is that probably the most critical problem?
Well, overcapacity, the student safety issue. We want to make sure that our students are in schools that are safe. When you look at some of our schools like College Park, it's a pod school, which means there are multiple buildings, multiple entrances, multiple ways in and out of those schools. That's a school that was built in the 60s when there was the open class concept.
Mm-hmm.
And when that didn't work, they had to put in what were supposed to be like temporary walls that are still there. And it's a school that needs to be replaced. Blair Elementary School is another older school that was built. And when you look at it, every door opens outside. So that means every door has an access to the outdoors.
Wow.
It looks almost like if you went to an old motel where it was doors. And that's a school that needs to be replaced. So there are those safety pieces. Cameras at all of our schools. So there's that. And then there's that technology piece, just making sure that our infrastructure can support the modern technology.
So in other words, the infrastructure, we're talking about the ability to have internet access, the ability to have additional technology resources in the classroom?
And yeah, we're talking about improving the technology access within the building,
mm-hmm.
making sure that you can have wireless in those buildings.
Yeah.
Some of the other infrastructure, particularly at our middle schools, are HVAC upgrades, electrical upgrades. When we can replace heating and air system, we can save dollars long term on our cost. We have schools where the heating and air system is 30, 40 years old. At one of our middle schools, we had an air system fail. Well, it was so old that the only way we could get parts for that system was because they were tearing down a school in California that used the same system.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. So that is a safety issue,
yes.
In as much as it is a capacity issue. That infrastructure kind of overlaps both safety and capacity. Interesting.
And that's something that you see, you know, he was talking about College Park, the wiring, there's no place for it to go. So it runs along the ceiling. So you can actually see it as you walk through the school. And the lighting is so inadequate that the halls are very dark and very, it's a very unfriendly place for elementary school students to be learning and growing.
Well, and I would think that people would want to have a school system where they would feel safe walking into, not just sending people's kids that they've never met into. It's important, you know, if you actually were walking down the hall as a citizen of Wilmington, North Carolina, you'd want to feel proud of the buildings that you're educating your students in.
And it's a case of where it's not always a case of just tear down an old building. We've got some schools, New Hanover, that dates back to turn of the century. It's a
mm-hmm.
great building.
Beautiful building.
Winter Park just celebrated its 75th anniversary as a school. And we've gone in and done major renovations to those schools. So when we're talking about tearing down a school, it's because we can't do that kind of renovation and work to bring that school up to what it needs to be.
Interesting.
The schools receive funding from the county and the state. So why do we need a bond? What's happened to funding in recent years that's making this necessary?
When you look at funding schools, you're traditionally looking at the annual cost of running a school. The state provides the day-to-day operating cost. It pays for the people in the building. And the county generally statewide handles the capital side, the renovations, repairs, and those pieces. And that's traditionally the way that schools are funded across the state. When you get into major upgrades and new construction, that's outside of that traditional annual funding process.
Mm-hmm.
So you need a way to do that. And in North Carolina, the way that happens is through school bonds. 2005 was our last school bond over almost a decade ago. And we haven't had any major bond issues since then related to schools. And so that's just simply the way that schools fund major construction are through school bonds.
If I could just ask you to give the listeners an overview of how a bond actually works. Is this going to be an ongoing tax? How does a bond work?
Well, a bond is a little bit like your home mortgage. You take out a loan and agree to repay that loan over a certain period of time. Traditionally, for school bonds or any kind of government bonds, it's a 20-year obligation to repay those.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to repay those, you either you use, just like the rest of the government, is funded through taxes. Now, for the county, that's traditionally property tax.
I think something that's important to know with regard to that is the ponds we've had in the past have not required a property tax increase. So that's an important thing to understand as well.
Is this different? Will this have a property tax increase?
Well, traditionally, when you have a bond, I have to tell you what the potential tax impact is.
Okay.
The potential tax impact of this bond is 4 cents on the property tax rate.
Okay.
Over the life of the bond. Now, as Ann said, if you look at the last, I think, five bonds, they've had a potential tax increase with them, but has never been realized. So they've never gone in and raised taxes the amount that they said they would need to pay for the bond. So we've had a very good track record of being fiscally sound in terms of issuing those bonds. So we've also not only been able to do the projects on the bond, but because of the savings during construction, we built additional schools. Murrayville Elementary School was not on the last bond issue, but because they were very conservative how they managed their money, they had enough money left over to build that school. So the school system has always been a very good steward of those dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And when we worked with the county, we wanted to make sure that our bond was within their fiscal range. Okay. They've got a very conservative tax policy when it comes to debt. This bond fits within that and is under all of the caps that they have for that. And our county as a whole has been very conservative. We actually have a AAA bond rating in the Hanover County, one of the very few counties that does that. And that's because the county government has been very conservative in terms of how it handles debt. And so I appreciate that. I would have liked to have seen this bond issue have been larger, mm-hmm. but given the conservative nature and the fact that we don't want to go put the county past what their bond obligation should be, we'll work within that limit.
Is this something that the lottery can often pick up on?
Well, anytime I talk about funding, I get the question, well, where we passed the lottery.
Well, I don't want to sound, redundant or anything, but...
What I'll say about the lottery is any dollar that's in the lottery, with the exception of some new dollars for scholarships, really replaced other dollars. The money that was supposed to go to class size reduction replaced money in the budget that was doing that already. Money that was supposed to go to pre-K replaced other dollars.
And these were all state dollars, of course.
These were all state dollars. At one time, we had a corporate ADM tax, which was used to help with ongoing maintenance of schools. Well, that is eliminated, and lottery dollars pretty much have replaced those ADM dollars.
Well, I guess we better buy more lottery tickets.
Yes, apparently. Ann, you've gotten involved with this. You've been a great volunteer with the school system. Give us a little bit more of a parent's perspective and why you've decided to come on as the co-chair of this bond committee.
Well, I think it's really important for all the citizens in New Hanover County to understand that, our primary focus is to improve our schools for the future of the citizens of this county. The students that will come out of these schools will have the jobs and make this county in the future. But we also need to look at right now, and I'm sure this is the focus of those who do not have children in the schools. And that is that businesses, as you have mentioned, that's their primary concern. How good are the schools? How well do they present when they bring in executives or new businesses to look at these schools and the possibility of their employees having their children in these schools? And, some of our schools are model schools and they're new schools, but then we have others like College Park and Wrightsville Beach that are in serious need of improvement. And all of our schools need to be brought up to the safety standards that unfortunately this generation has kind of pushed on our school system with cameras, special entrance devices that make it very difficult for someone to get in the school at all unless they are let in by the person at the front office. And, that touches every school mm-hmm. in the entire county. So, that's a chief concern of mine. I feel like the schools need to be safe for all the students. But we all need to understand how much this affects the county business-wise as well as our students.
How does it affect the students' attitudes about education when they walk into a building that feels like it's falling down?
Well, from a parent's perspective, I can tell you, the more beautiful the school, the new, the shiny, then I think the students take pride in the school, and then that ultimately reflects their performance. I think mm-hmm. they feel like, they rise to meet what the school brings them.
Sure.
And, you know, the technology especially is a key piece, because the teachers are now trying to teach these children and get them ready for the technology that changes, as we know, basically
minute by minute.
Daily.
Yeah.
And not having that technology at their fingertips really handicaps their ability to educate our children. And we just need to make that so that they have everything at their fingertips to make all of our children successful.
And I can actually echo that sentiment a bit. I'm the parent of a New Hanover County school student. My daughter graduated from Coddington Elementary School last year. And Coddington is a fairly new school in comparison to some of the others. And when I visited Roland Grice Middle School, where she will be going next year, which is a great school, I understand. But walking in and just seeing the differences in that school, which has been around for 40 or 50 years, probably at least, compared to Coddington, they are stark. They really are. And it's still, I'm sure, a good learning environment, but it is by no means probably the best that it could be.
And Roland Grice is one of the schools that, along with four other middle schools, that are going to get some major infrastructure and classroom upgrades.
Good.
That's good to hear, huh?
How's the bond actually going to carry over? Will all the schools benefit in some way?
Every school will benefit, at least through technology upgrades and safety upgrades. And then you're going to see one new school up in the northeast corner, replacement of several schools, College Park and Blair, major upgrades at our middle schools, and then New Hanover is also, and Hoggard are both scheduled to get major upgrades as well. And then Wrightsville Beach is going to get a whole new floor. I mean, if you go to Wrightsville Beach, there are actually more trailers than classrooms at that school right now.
Oh, no.
Jeez.
Yeah, the two high schools, three of the high schools are affected. New Hanover has construction changes to the George West building, but Laney and Hoggard currently have a gymnasium that is suited for a 2A high school, and they are a 4A high school. Mm-hmm. They have no place on campus to assemble all the students for any reason. If they had a production or a speaker to come to either of those schools, they have no facility to have all the students together unless they wanted to go sit in the football stadium.
I was going
to
say, go outside and sit in the football stadium.
So their gymnasiums are very, very small, and they have no auditorium. So that's the big change for those two high schools, to give them a gym sizable enough for a 4A basketball program or volleyball that's held in there, as well as giving them a facility to assemble all the students.
And that's, if we think about the push right now towards science, technology, engineering, arts, and math, if we don't provide our students with access to those at a young age, they're not going to be able to major in those things when they go to college. And we're going to end up with a workforce that's not prepared.
Well, so many of the classes now that have trickled back even to the middle schools as the North Carolina Virtual Public High School, where classes are actually being taken online to give students who progress at their own pace, you know, unlimited ability to study. And having that technology in place so those students can study at school who may not have it at home is just essential.
It is essential. I assume that's one of the things that would be included under your technology umbrella.
Yeah, more access for those students. We're moving away from, one of the ways we're addressing overcrowding is we used to have fixed computer labs. Now we're moving to mobile computer labs. And I've got to make sure I've got rooms that can handle that kind of wireless capacity.
Yeah.
Because then I can roll a wireless cart of computers into a room and convert that old lab back into a classroom.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just some of the challenges we're doing right now to try to address our growth needs. We reopened a building that we had we're leasing as a kindergarten center so that we could address some of the overcrowding at Bellamy. We're doing a lot of things right now as much as we can within our budgets to address overcrowding, but we'll never keep up at this point with the growth we have without a bond.
Mm-hmm.
So if the bond is approved, what is going to be the sort of the time frame for the improvements? What would actually probably happen first?
Well, we've taken a couple of steps already to get started. We are looking at land in the northeast corner, and that'll probably be the first project to break ground. We purchased a piece of property, folks may know it as the Rock Church up on Sidbury Road, which would serve as a swing site for the bond and allow us to move some students there temporarily while we did some of the replacements in those schools. And then that we would convert that property probably to a middle school, long range, past the outside of the bond piece. So there's a lot of things that we're doing to get ready for that. we're not going to pass the bond in November and build a school in December. It takes several years to get a school up and running. So we're even with this bond, we're going to address our needs, but we're going to have continue to have more growth. This is just really, it's not going to fix it all, but it's going to get us on that path to doing that. So we would do several projects simultaneously. The security pieces at the school would be one of the early things that we would be able to get in, as well as some of the infrastructure pieces. The schools would be built, and probably in 2019, all the elementary would be done, and then we could do some redistricting to help alleviate crowding as well at that point.
So the first kinds of things we would probably see as a public would be probably the safety improvements internally.
Yes.
Great. So what would happen with the students when the upgrades or the construction and things are going on? How do you actually handle that? Well, that's got to be a logistical nightmare in some senses.
We've got a great operations department. Eddie Anson, hands up planning, has already actually mapped all of that out. It's the reason we bought that piece of land up in the called the Rock Church property, because it was an existing building that we could use sort of as a swing site for a school. We would add some mobile units to it to bring it up. But then, so our students would go to that swing site while we tore down the other school. And then once the new school would be built, they'd come back into their school, and then somebody else would go to the swing site. And then once we opened up that Northeast Elementary, the students would move there as well. So it's kind of a puzzle, but our operations folks have that puzzle already pretty much worked out.
Good. Sounds like a Rubik's Cube to me.
So how do you see these? I mean, we talked about the technology upgrades and some of those things, and either one of you can jump in on this one. How do you think these improvements are going to affect school performance? Are they going to affect graduation rates? And if so, how?
Anytime you make improvements to schools, example, we talked a lot about the infrastructure, but part of the infrastructure is we're going in and upgrading some classrooms. Example, bringing science classrooms up to modern standards so students can access those. So the more I can put a student in a modern learning environment, the better that student's going to be prepared when they leave us and go on to college or into the workforce.
Yeah, I think the technology piece is very important, because so many of the colleges and universities now and community colleges are using online classes and so much technology, and our students need to be very familiar with that so they can hit the ground running when they are beyond, you know, the public schools and are working towards their career.
Are things like smart boards included in this? I know the chamber funded the Project mm-hmm. Lead the Way program at Trask Middle School this year, and it's a great STEM program. And one of the things that we noted that the teacher noted, Chuck Leake, was that a smart board would be great for his classroom. They're dealing with, you know, engineering and these various things, design and modeling. And so the chamber actually funded that for them. Are there other schools that are in need of things like that, that this will take care of?
Well, when we build a brand new school, the cost that you put with that school includes everything to open that school. It includes the furniture. It includes all of the technology. So any school we open is going to be a state-of-the-art school with that technology. So the Northeast Elementary, College Park, Blair would be built with that technology. And the infrastructure piece at the other schools will be more backbone kind of technology. But if we go in and renovate a classroom as part of this bond, we'll renovate that to modern standards. So you'll see that in some places, the new schools will have that technology. So it's going to depend on which particular project.
Okay, great. Go ahead, Ann.
No, I was just going to ask to help our audience understand a little bit more about what it's like to not have it. I just want to keep coming back to that, because until everybody understands what it's really like and the disadvantage that we are giving our children by not doing it, what could be the world that would change for them if we do this? If we vote in this bond and we make these changes, how can their worlds be better?
Well, just imagine, you know, elementary school students, they're just little bitty folks. And so many of the schools open to the outdoors. Mm-hmm. And to go from your classroom to the library, from your classroom to the cafeteria, or to PE, or not even having a place to have PE, having to have it in your classroom. And that is your daily existence in all the rain that we have just had.
And so these students literally have to go out of their classroom door to the outside into the elements, into the danger zone of whatever's outside.
Absolutely.
In order to go around the building to get to the library or the cafeteria or the, oh my goodness.
Absolutely. And many times the shelter does not extend to where they need to go. So eventually they're going to have to go out in the rain. And, you know, teachers have buckets of umbrellas to try to get them from one spot to the other. But, you know, that's what these small children are enduring on a daily school basis.
It's hard to believe. It really is hard to believe. And I think about middle school students who are already under so much pressure in life. And I think middle school is probably the hardest time in most people's lives. And to have them be disadvantaged comparatively, I would think would negatively sort of impede their progress educationally. Is that fair to say?
Well, I mean, you know, middle school is where they really start blossoming as far as what the direction they're headed. Mm-hmm. And to have the technology up to date for them, mm-hmm. so they can hit in there. And we have middle school students who are ready to take high school classes.
Right.
And that technology needs to be there for them to jump right on in and keep rolling. Mm-hmm. And, you know, our middle schools are wonderful here in the county, but they are old and they just don't support that technology like they need to.
Well, I realize that I'm offering an opinion here, but it seems to me that we would want to offer our children the very best that we can offer them. And that's just the opinion of Business Radio X.
that's the opinion of the bond committee as well.
That's a good opinion to have. As you know, the Chamber Board of Directors share that same opinion, and they have actually come out and done a resolution in support of the school bond. What other groups have supported it vocally thus far?
So far, the town of Cure Beach has passed a resolution in support of the bond, and the Realtors Association, who are somebody who are tied very closely to look at the business piece as well as the tax rate, and we were very pleased that they offered up their support.
Excellent.
And in fact, we've got a small grant from them to help us with some of the advertising about getting the information out for the bond. So really appreciate that support.
Well, it's funny because we don't talk politics on Business Radio X very often, and so I don't really consider this a political stance that I'm taking here. I think that this is just a pro-business stance to take to support education in the community and to really make sure that we're giving everything that we can, and we're not talking about a bunch in terms of tax dollars.
Well, I will tell you, in the 4 years I've been here, I've been asked a couple times to go speak to business groups because one of the first questions that folks who are relocating here want to know is, tell me about your schools. Even if the business is locating across the river, there's a good chance that a large number of those folks will live here in New Hanover County. Mm-hmm. And so they want to know, what do we have for vocational programs? What state are some of your schools in? Because our folks are going to live in this community.
Right. Right.
Anne, any final thoughts? We've got just a minute or two left.
Well, you know, the bond committee that is now working to try to get the word out to our voters about the importance of passing this bond, you know, is made of citizens through all walks of life in New Hanover County and all businesses. And we've come together, as you said, not with a political background, but a need to get this done for the students and for the future of this community.
For our entire economic development.
Absolutely. And, you know, presentations are being made to community groups, schools all over the county. We have school system people that answer all the questions, but the bond committee people are the heart and soul of the ones that are asking you to get out and vote and to really get the facts on this and then spread the facts to others. Stop by the schools. I'm sure if you stop, Dan, a principal will be happy to show you their school.
On October 9th, we're going to do an event called Walk in Their Shoes Day, where folks can come in and spend a day in a classroom and see what goes on in those schools. We did it last year. We're going to expand it this year.
Great.
Would love to have that. Visit our website, which has a lot of information about the bond. If you have a group that would that you want somebody to come speak to about the bond, let us know. We'll be happy to come and provide information.
What is the website address?
NHCS.net.
NHCS.net.
And there's a big banner there that says school bond. You click on it, it takes it right to the website that has
all the bond info.
Yes, anything you can think of.
And it's very well done. I used it just yesterday when I was preparing for some of the stuff with this. Very easy to find the information. Well, thank both of you for coming here today and for speaking to us about this. And, of course, thank also the bond committee for all the hard work that they're doing on this.
And thanks to the chamber for supporting it.
Well,
absolutely.
Thank you very much. Our next Voice of Business show is going to be on Thursday, September the 11th, and hopefully everyone will join us then.
Until next time, this is Anne Revelle-Petcher.
And Scott Cheklevsky.
For Voice of Business Radio.